Good morning. I'd like to welcome everybody this morning, especially our visitors. We have a few visitors with us. I met a couple from Atlanta, and they are with us today on their way to San Diego. We have another gentleman here with us. We're very glad to have you and consider you our honored guest. We're going to continue on with our study. We looked at a few weeks ago the gospel and its power of salvation. We looked at to be in Christ, some of the steps. We're looking at the path of salvation. And a couple of weeks ago, we looked at how important hearing the Word of God is to get to that point of salvation. Somebody was willing to teach us at one time, and that led us to salvation. And as we looked at last week, just hearing the Word of God, we have that decision whether to believe it and let it affect our lives or not. We have to believe. We have to believe that Word of God. If we can't trust in God's Word, then we're spinning our wheels. We have to be able to believe that there is God, and that we have to believe in His Son, Jesus, that He was the Messiah, the sacrifice, and that His blood is what covers our sins. Leads us to our next step is repentance. What if we've heard the Word of God, and most of us are in that situation here this morning, we might be able to use this to be able to teach others. Or there may be people watching online right now that need to hear this. But we can tuck some of these verses away, maybe to use for friends, family, even strangers, if it comes up. But just like with the belief, when you come to the belief that Jesus is the Lord, when you come to the belief that there is God, that's not enough. We have a choice to make. We're not going to be pleasing to God if we believe in Him and keep acting the very same way we did in the world. We all have to live in this world. There's no getting around it. God has blessed us with many blessings while living in this world. We have to live here, but we don't have to be of the world. And we have that choice to make. If we believe, we have to repent of the sins in our life. We have to change the course of direction that we make. And our scripture reading that Reese read earlier, and I appreciate you reading that for us, Reese. 2 Corinthians chapter 7, Paul would write to the Christians in Corinth, starting verse 9. He says, "Now I rejoice, not that you were made sorry, but that your sorrow led to repentance. Amen. For you were made sorry in a godly manner, that you might suffer loss from us in nothing. For godly sorrow produces repentance, leading to salvation, not to be regretted, but the sorrow of the world produces death." We had, and that's a big difference. There's the sorrow of God that we did not adhere to God's word, that we let God down. God has given us so much. And then here we go, we believe in Him, but yet we act in such a way. X, Y, or Z. The sorrow of the world might be sorrow we got caught. Sorrow of the world might mean sorry for the consequences that I have to face. We've talked about it before. Tracy lived a life and a career. A lot of people were sorry that they wound up in prison and wound up with Tracy as a guard. They're not sorry for what they did. They're sorry that they wound up in prison. Many of them, I'm sure, saw the error of their ways. And that's godly sorrow. Peter addresses much of the same thing. He says in 2 Peter 3, verse 9, Peter says, "The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some count slackness, but is long-suffering toward us." I want to pause there. I'm so glad. I am so glad that he was long. I'll just start and stop with, I'm glad he was long-suffering with me.
Amen.
You know, if it applies to anybody else, that's great. I'm glad he was long-suffering with me. Not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance.
Amen.
That's God's ultimate goal, that we come to repentance. He doesn't want people to perish, but he will allow it if you choose that. He did not want to destroy the world in a flood, but he sure did it. And those that showed obedience were saved. We have to repent. Repentance of not only public sin, but private sin. A lot of times, we have to repent of things that was done publicly, that lots of people know about. And we have to. It's good for us to repent. It's required of us to repent. It's required of us to expect repentance of people. We want to accept people when they come through the doors. We accept them as they are, but we don't want them to stay there. We want them to grow and mature. And if we didn't expect public repentance, the message we're saying is you don't have to. We're saying we condone sin. We have to repent of public sin, but also private sin. Sin that maybe only you and God knows about. We have to repent of that individually. Repentance was the answer for all the wayward churches in Revelation. When Christ was saying, "I know your works," and he goes to list them, to point them out, putting people on blast, that I know what you, not just I know what you did, but then mentions them. The answer was for all of them, repent. It was the same answer on the day of Pentecost when those devout Jews, it said earlier that they were devout men. These devout Jews heard the gospel by Peter, and they heard that this Jesus, who you crucified, was the Messiah, the Son of God. It said they were cut to the heart. I guess so. They were cut to the heart, and they cried out, "Men and brethren, what shall we do?" The answer was repent and be baptized. That was the answer. But you got to repent. When we come to the point of believing in God. It's an active obedience. It's an active belief. It's not just a mental acceptance. It's an active belief. Repentance is the outcropping of that. We repent of our behaviors, habits. Have you ever heard somebody, or maybe you came out of your mouth, that it's just me, it's my habit? We can't just, oh, that's just so-and-so. That's what he does. That's what she does. We have to repent of our habits. Sometimes we repent of traditions that we grow up doing that maybe we did not see anything wrong with that. But when we become a Christian, we might have to change some of our traditions. Things that we do, things that we say. Repent of things said. Repent of actions that we commit. And sometimes the actions that we omitted from doing, that we didn't do when we should have, when we didn't speak up when we should have, when we went ahead and went along with something when we shouldn't have. Those are things that we need to change, that we need to repent, have a change of heart, change of action from. In Acts 26, Paul was before Agrippa, and he says, "Therefore, King Agrippa, I was not disobedient to the heavenly vision, but declared first to those in Damascus and in Jerusalem and throughout all the region of Judea, and then to the Gentiles, that they should repent, turn to God, and do works befitting repentance." Do the works that show you've repented. Not, it's one thing to say, "I'm sorry, I repent," but we've got to give works that demonstrate it. If I keep doing sin and my works don't match up what I'm saying, it doesn't do me any good. In Luke 15, we see the account of the prodigal son. And the son just didn't, when he fell on hard times, he just didn't use dad as a safety net. "Oh, I'll just go back home and pick up right where I left off. That's what I'll do. I'll just go back as if nothing ever happened." We don't see that. Starting in verse 17, this son that had gotten his inheritance and went away and blew through it on sinful living, wound up losing it all. And then a turn of events came. There was a famine in that land. He was starving. He didn't have anything. And he's thinking, "Man, the servants that work for my father have more than I've got here." And he goes back and says, but when he came to himself, that's so important. It clicked. The light bulb went off. When he came to himself, he said, "How many of my father's hired servants have bread enough and to spare? And I perish with hunger. I will arise and go to my father and will say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. And I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired servants." That's repentance. He went and he said he was sorry. And he was willing to do whatever it takes to get back in the Father's good graces. We know how the story ends, how the Father welcomed him, allowed him to repent. and welcomed him with open arms. And we see that he just didn't say to himself, I'll do this. He did do it. He goes to his father, falls down, you know, at his feet, and apologizes, repents for what he had done. In Acts 19, I think this is one of the greatest examples of true repentance in the Bible. These magicians and so forth that made their money this way, when they came to know the power of the Lord, they just didn't stop doing what they did. They went and burned their books. They did works befitting of repentance. And many who had believed came confessing and telling their deeds. They fessed up to it. They confronted it. Also, many of those who had practiced magic brought their books together and burned them in the sight of all. We're changing. And they counted up the value of them, and it totaled 50,000 pieces of silver. That's a lot. 50,000. Judas sold Jesus out for 30. Their books were worth 50,000 pieces of silver. So the word of the Lord grew mightily and prevailed. Sometimes repentance costs us. It may cost us things to repent. But what's the price to get back into the good graces of God? Sometimes repenting and being a Christian costs us something. We repent of not only our actions, of our attitudes. And that's one of those things. Just because we don't do an action doesn't mean we're not guilty of sin. Attitudes of our thoughts, our heart, our mind. Not having humility. You have to have humility to repent. You have to have humility, like the prodigal son, he came to himself to be able to examine yourself, look in the mirror, and realize sin in our lives. Before we became a Christian, we had to come to that realization that we have sinned, that all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. I fall into all. That was kind of a shocker. Those people that cried out, men and brethren, what shall we do? It said that they were devout Jews, but not good enough. They had to repent. Matthew 5, in the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus says, you have heard that it was said of old, you shall not murder. And whoever murders shall be in danger of the judgment. But I say to you that whoever is angry with his brother without cause shall be in danger of the judgment. And then he uses about being angry. And a few verses later, he says, you have heard that it was said of old, you shall not commit adultery. But I say to you that whoever looks at a woman to lust for her has already committed adultery with her in his heart. Same with stealing. You may not have taken an object. You may not have had the opportunity. You would have. You may not have committed adultery. You may not have had the opportunity. Romans 12:2, Paul drives the point home how important his repentance is. That it's a change in us. And do not be conformed to this world, Paul wrote, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Didn't say by change of your actions, but by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Amen. Peter wrote, likewise, you younger people, submit yourselves to your elders. Yes, all of you be submissive to one another and be clothed with humility, for God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. We have to be humble in order to repent. It's so easy to justify sin. I got mad and I said this because they made me so mad. It's easy to justify, but we have to be humble to repent. And when we are humble, God gives us that grace. Amen. Acts 8:22 reads, "Repent therefore of this your wickedness and pray God if perhaps the thought of your heart may be forgiven you." One has to repent for salvation.
Amen.
It's not just a suggestion or good idea. It's commanded. Jesus, in Matthew 4, it says, "From that time Jesus began to preach and to say, repent, for the kingdom of God, of heaven, is at hand." Jesus said in Luke 13:3, "I tell you no, but unless you repent, you will all likewise perish." I don't know how much plainer that gets. Unless you repent, you will all likewise perish. Paul would say in Acts 17, he's in Athens, he's on Mars Hill, and he says, "Truly, these times of ignorance, God overlooked." I'm sure we've lived some time in our life that looked pretty ignorant. The way we behaved, the way we did things, even maybe our attitudes. "These times of ignorance God overlooked, but now commands all men everywhere to repent." Closing up here, Romans 6, Paul would address to the Romans. Paul had talked about grace. And some of the people came to the conclusion, well, if I get God's grace when I sin, why don't I sin a lot more and get more grace? Sounds like a winner to me. Paul says, "What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Certainly not. How shall we who died to sin live any longer in it?" And that question kind of answers itself. We've died to that old self. And when we stumble, we repent. Not tomorrow, not next week, not when I get around to it, not when things smooth out. Don't be like Pharaoh. "I'm asleep one more night with the frogs." If you were in our Moses class, you know what I'm talking about. "I'll sleep one more night with the frogs. I won't turn to God yet. I'm going to spend one more night in sin." God wants us to repent now. If you need to repent, if you've got public sin in your life, by all means, repent publicly. If it's private sin in your life, between you and God, repent to God. Right now. Today. Not wait. Not when things get better. But now. Don't let anything stand between you and you fully serving God. If there's anything we can do for you, in addition to if you need to repent, you need prayers of the congregation, if you'd like to put your Lord on in baptism, if you've been looking around at some congregations and would like to identify with working and worshiping with us here at South Valley, whatever your need, please come forward while we're led in the invitation song. Let's stand and sing.